Again, we're going to continue our study of the book of Jeremiah and see once what God would teach us as we go on verse by verse and chapter by chapter in Jeremiah. Now, we've spent a long time in the first 16 and a half chapters of Jeremiah. We're right to the middle of Jeremiah 17, and we've learned very much that deals particularly with our day, because we found that while the book of Jeremiah was written at a time when Israel was being threatened by the Babylonians, and in fact Judah was destroyed and Jerusalem was destroyed and the temple was destroyed by the King Nebuchadnezzar in 587 B.C., and we have learned that the application is for us today. God really is speaking about the end of the church age, typifying us by Judah, because in the Old Testament, Judah was an external representation of the kingdom of God. And throughout the church age, the local congregations had been an external representation of the kingdom of God. And the fact is that even as God finally finished utilizing the nation of Israel to represent the kingdom of God and shifted over to the church age, the local congregations, the time also came when God was finished with the local congregations being a representative of the kingdom of God. And as we've been going through these chapters of Jeremiah, we have found that verse after verse were verses that applied very, very directly, oh yes, to national Israel or Judah at the time that this was being written, but also even more directly at our local congregations and the situation that prevails in the world today, because we're living at that time when God has just been finished with the local congregations, and therefore this material is exceedingly up to date. It's like today's newspaper. It's really telling us what we can expect and why it is the way it is and so forth. And as God is presenting all of this material, it's always in the framework and the context of what the gospel is. And so liberally sprinkled through the book of Jeremiah, there are also the statements of biblical principles concerning the nature of the gospel, and so that we keep continually reminded of exactly what the gospel is. Now, we've come down to verse 19 of Jeremiah 17, and here we're going to find from Jeremiah 17 verse 19 to the end of the chapter an aspect of the gospel that has not been emphasized yet in our study in the book of Jeremiah, although it is emphasized in other parts of the Bible. And for that reason, for some of us, this may seem to be somewhat familiar material. But on the other hand, there are a great many people who are not well acquainted with what we're going to be studying here and will know, first of all, just because it's in the Bible, it's very, very important. Everything is important. But this particular aspect or this particular focus that we're going to be on, beginning in verse 19, is especially important. It is getting right to the very basic issue of what the gospel really is. And so we're going to go into this and see what we can learn. Now, as we just read about this, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. What's the big deal? Because let's read Jeremiah 17, verse 19. Thus saith the Lord unto me. God is speaking to Jeremiah. Go and stand in the gate of the children of the people, whereby the kings of Judah come in, and by the which they go out, and in all the gates of Jerusalem, and say unto them, Hear ye the word of the Lord, ye kings of Judah, and all of the inhabitants of Jerusalem, that enter in by these gates. Thus saith the Lord, Take heed to yourselves, and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem. Neither carry forth a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, neither do ye any work, but hallow ye the Sabbath day, as I commanded your fathers. The importance of this is underscored when we finally get down to verse 27. I just want to set up the context here. But if ye will not hearken unto me to hallow the Sabbath day, and not to bear a burden, even entering in at the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then will I kindle a fire in the gates thereof, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched." Now, I tied these two passages together, these two verses together, to show you that the material that we're going to be looking at as we talk about this carrying a burden into the through the gates into Jerusalem is very, very important and serious material, because it's talking about a fire that shall not be quenched and that will devour Jerusalem. And my, that's about as heavy an indictment or a heavy warning as you want to find in the Bible. And so, to begin with, we are finding that this kind of language, not carrying a burden into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, has to be talking about something very, very important. Now, when we begin to examine this word burden, before we examine the word burden, let's find out some more things about what this is all about. Notice in verse 22, "Neither do ye any work, but hallow ye the Sabbath day." Now that will be our touchstone. That will be the language that will direct us into a lot of other scriptures that will help us to begin to really lay this out. Now, as I've said, this is something we've talked about from time to time because it is such a very important subject. But it is so important that we're just going through the Bible verse by verse, and we're not picking and choosing what we want to talk about. We're letting God guide us. We're simply being faithful to the Word of God. And so we're going to talk about this. Now, where do we first read about doing any work on the Sabbath? Remember the Ten Commandments? Remember the Ten Commandments? Let's start right there. Let's go back to Exodus 20. And right there in the Ten Commandments, there is this surprising commandment. Now, the Ten Commandments, more people are familiar with the Ten Commandments than any other part of the Bible. You'll find the Ten Commandments posted in public buildings in certain places in the United States. You find in many churches it is the law of God that is read from Sunday to Sunday. But when we talk about the Ten Commandments, there's quite a good familiarity with it. And historically, the Ten Commandments have always been looked upon as, this is the moral law of God. This is what you must obey. And if you do not obey it very rigorously and religiously, then you will be under the wrath of God. Well, that is true, except to a point. But the curious thing is, in the middle of the Ten Commandments, there is the fourth commandment. And we read there in Exodus chapter 20, we read in verse 8, "Remember the Sabbath day." Now, let me stop right here so that all of us are on the same page as we think about this subject that we're getting into. That is that until Christ went to the cross, until Christ went to the cross and abolished all of the ceremonial laws, that is, not abolished them, but rather fulfilled them, like the laws concerning burnt offerings and sacrifices and so on, the people of Israel and everybody before that were not to work on the seventh day of the week, which was Saturday. Remember, the first day was Sunday, and Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. That's the seventh day. That was the Sabbath day. And that was a day they were not to do any work. Let's read about this. "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." I'm reading Exodus 20, verse 8. "6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." And so we read this and we say, oh, well, okay, God has given a very express command here right in the Decalogue, right in the Ten Commandments, where he says, thou shalt not have any other gods before me, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain, and so on. And right in the midst of them, here is this command, don't do any work on the seventh day. Well, we wonder, why? What does that have to do with our moral living? We know that we're not to have any other gods before God. There's only one God who we are to serve. We know that it's a very wrong thing to commit adultery. It fractures the marriage. And we know that we're not to steal, we're not to kill. I mean, all of those laws make sense. We can see how that is the way we are to live. But not to do any work on the seventh day, what's the big deal? What is the big deal? And here God gives a reason. Well, because I didn't work on the seventh day. Isn't that what he says? For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. And as a matter of fact, if we go back to Genesis chapter 1, we find there that we read in verse 31 of Genesis 1, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work which he had. Okay, well now, in other words, is that what the story is? That God simply has set a pattern that we work 6 days and then rest the seventh day? And is that what it's all about? Is that what we're to do? Well, according to the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20, that's what the Bible says, that we are not to work on the seventh day because God rested on the seventh day. But then, you know, to complicate matters, we go back to the second account of the Ten Commandments, and they are given twice in the Bible, and that is in Deuteronomy 5. And there we find something additional, and we wonder how we are to factor that into this whole question. We read in verse 13 of Deuteronomy 5, 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thine ox, nor thine ass, nor any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates, that thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou. Incidentally, in both of these statements of the Ten Commandments, notice that this was not just something for you personally, but it was for everything that you were in charge of. It was for your family. It was for your servants. It was for your all those that you have a mastery over in any sense or control over in any sense. This, in other words, this was some kind of a command that was a big command. And just what is God talking about? And then God says in verse 15 of Deuteronomy 5, and remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God brought thee out of thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Oh, well, that's a different reason. In Exodus 20, God said, because I rested on the seventh day when I created the world. I created it in 6 days, and then I rested the seventh day. Now God is saying, he's giving another reason altogether. You are to rest on the seventh day because, remember, you were a servant in the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Why does God say that? What does going out of Egypt have anything to do with resting on the Sabbath day? Well, we can puzzle over that a little while, but now let's go to Exodus chapter 31. And there God will begin to help us in understanding this. In Exodus 31, verse 13. Exodus 31, verse 13. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbath ye shall keep. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Here is the clue. Here is the guideline. The fact is that God gave certain, what we call theologically, ceremonial laws. That is not a word that is used in the Bible, ceremonially. But what we mean by that is they are laws that in themselves are not moral, in themselves are not have anything to directly to do with salvation, but they are pointing to some aspect of the salvation story, some aspect of what was required for our salvation. It is a sign. It is like a signpost that is pointing. Look. Look where it's pointing to. Look where it's pointing to. That I, the Lord, sanctify thee. That is, I, the Lord, make you holy. Now, how does the Lord make us holy? How do we become holy? How do we become completely set apart? That's the definition of the word sanctify or holy. How do we become completely set apart for the service of God? By becoming saved. By having all of our sins paid for. As long as we are carrying the guilt of sin, we are not holy before God. But once we have become a child of God, then we are holy in the sense that we now have no more sin clinging to us. And the seventh day Sabbath somehow was a sign pointing to that. The Old Testament Israelites were commanded, don't do any work on the seventh day, none whatsoever, because I want you to remember that this is a sign that is pointing to the fact that I am the one who has done all the work to make you sanctified or to make you my child. And now we can understand why Deuteronomy chapter 5 says what it does. Because remember there it says, remember that you were a servant in the land of Egypt. You were in bondage there. And you came out, how? By your strong efforts as you finally rebelled against the king of Egypt. And you marshaled your armies, and you finally got victory over the armies of Egypt, and you finally were able to break your way out. Is that what the Bible teaches? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. All right, let's go back again for a moment to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5. And we see there, it says, and remember, verse 15, and remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and a stretched out arm. In other words, the whole action was God's action. Look at the Israelites. What contribution did they make to their becoming freed from the tyranny of Egypt and of Pharaoh? None. None. It is God who brought them out. It is God who brought the 10 plagues. It is God who inclined the hearts of the Egyptians to give all kinds of precious things to the Israelites to hurry them on their way out. It is God who opened the Red Sea and brought Israel through. In other words, the whole work was God's altogether. Now you see why Exodus 31 says that you keep the Sabbath day, because I, the Lord, sanctify thee. That is, going out of Egypt was a picture of salvation. Remember how the Ten Commandments begins? I am the Lord thy God who has brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. That is, I am the Lord who has brought you out of the bondage of sin and the tyranny of Satan, and has set you on the path to salvation, to the land of Canaan. And God did all the work. I am the Lord that sanctifies thee. now we can begin to see this matter of carrying a burden into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. Now, the fact is that God is saying, look, as you're trying to obey these other nine commandments, I'm warning you, be sure to remember that I, the Lord, sanctify you. Exodus 31. I, the Lord, sanctify. I do all the work. You can't keep it perfectly. You have to look to me. It is, in that sense, the fourth commandment is one of the most important verses in the Bible, in that we are to make sure that we rest from any work that we're doing to try to get right before God. We do it only God's way. Now, in fact, it is so serious, let's go back to Exodus chapter 31, where God is describing how serious this is. And we're going to see this elsewhere. Exodus 31, in verse 14, ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore. That is that seventh day Sabbath, and not do any work. For it is holy unto you. Every one that defileth shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. My, remember how parallel that is to Jeremiah 17, where I will kindle a fire in Jerusalem that will never be quenched. It's so significant here when we read the next verse. We just read, he that defileth this shall be surely be put to death. And then he goes on in verse 15, 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Certainly, he is to be put to death. God is really driving home the point. This is super, super serious. If you do any work on the seventh day Sabbath, then you are going to be put to death. We begin to see, well, whatever the Ten Commandments mean when it talks about keeping the Sabbath day, this is super serious, super serious. I'm still subject to spiritual death. This is where this is carrying us. Again, we've come to that time when we have to say goodbye, and the next time we will continue the study that we are presently working in. But in the meanwhile, may I encourage each one of us, I say each one of us, not only you, but me too, that we will continue to read the Bible, nothing is more important than that.